Warning: the following podcast will contain subject matter that on the surface may appear tame and for everyone. We here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind can assure you that it will not be. You will hear adult language. We will have a complete disregard for your feelings and emotions, and we will have zero restraint on the opinions shared on this show. There will be no safe spaces available for anyone listening. So, if you're one of those individuals offended by literally everything, this is not the fucking show for you.
Look, I'd consider myself a realist, all right? But in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
Okay, what's that mean?
It means I'm bad at parties. I think human consciousness was a tragic misstep in evolution. We became too self-aware. Nature created an aspect of nature separate from itself. We are creatures that should not exist by natural law.
That sounds god-fucking-awful, Rush.
We are things that labor under the illusion of having a self. This accretion of sensory experience and feeling. Programmed with total assurance that we are each somebody. When in fact, everybody's nobody. I think the honorable thing for our species to do is deny our programming. Stop reproducing. Walk hand in hand into extinction. One last midnight, brothers and sisters opting out of a raw deal.
So, what's the point of getting out of bed in the morning?
I tell myself I bear witness. The real answer is that it's obviously my programming.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your jazz old brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am AJ Orsini, and I am bequeathing yet again onto all of you another wonderful episode of OUM. This is episode 95, and I got to talk to you guys, and I got to be real with you right now. I am on the clock, my friends. I am on the clock. This is a jam-packed week for me, not as packed as Ricochet was in his leaked video, but it's very, very tight and taut this week. I have to attend a graduation. I haven't attended a graduation in a long time. And I'm super glad. Let's turn that off because I forgot to do it beforehand. I am super glad and super happy and super proud that I will be attending a graduation because it is my son's first ever graduation. First ever time that he will be attending a graduation. I'm super excited. He will not only be attending. There's a story behind this. Okay, so my son, technically speaking, is 4 and still technically in daycare. Right? He hasn't really hit pre-K just yet. But because of the fact that he's my son, that makes him super awesome. And he did not do well with his age group very, very early on, meaning when he was 2, he didn't do well with 2s. He behaved and academically just did better with 3s. So we moved him up to the 3s while he was still 2. So pretty much since he's began going to daycare and school, he's always been kind of a year ahead. So this year, he is in the pre-K class. He's just not an actual pre-K student. So next year, he will officially be in pre-K, which means he has to do all the shit that he just did this year. He has to do it all over again. But this was the trial run. And he did pretty okay. But at least he knows now what's expected of him, and he'll do way better next year. He did good this year. He did really good, shockingly good, considering his age. But he will basically master it and make pre-K his bitch next year. So since he's with the pre-K class, his classmates will be graduating today and moving on to kindergarten. Now, he will not be going to kindergarten. Like I said, he's going to pre-K next year. But they didn't want to leave him out. He's the only student there who isn't technically a pre-K student. So they didn't want to leave him out. So they're going to let him graduate with the rest of them, even though he will be right back in that spot. So my son right now is moving on up. Yeah. We live on the west side of Brooklyn. That's fine. We have a first floor apartment. This doesn't really fit. Okay, turn it off. I just realized now none of that fit. But he is moving up to the official pre-K, which is also cause for celebration for two things. New parents or parents of young kids will understand this. I live in New York City, which has a universal K program, and universal K program is not, it's funded by the government. You don't pay for it. Okay, so this will be the first school year coming up where my wife and I will not have to pay for school. We've been dropping some serious De Niro down for his school ever since he was basically born. And we will still be paying because we need an early drop-off and a late pickup. But we'll, I mean, it's going to be down 75, 80. It's like getting a 75 to 80% discount on education. It's going to be tremendous. My pocket and my wife's pocket will be fat. Fat. We're going to be balling next year. We're buying a round for everybody. And by round, I mean gum because we don't want to spend money on you. But we're definitely going to be saving a whole bunch of fucking coin, which means I'm going to be eating better. I'm going to be fucking better. This is going to be a better life next year. So this graduation coming up is huge. It's humongous. So I'm super proud of my son. Little O, not so little anymore, my friends. Ever since I started this podcast, you guys have been listening to his progressive growth through my end cut, the little audio I play at the end of every episode. I didn't realize how many of them I've done so far. I think I'm up to three now of just different variations of him speaking on the show and how big he's getting, guys. I'm a real dad now. It's the real deal. He's doing a whole bunch of stupid shit at the house. I want to murder him. The first time I wanted to murder him was the first time I realized, man, I'm a real dad now. This is the real thing. I want to kill him. I haven't yet. I'm reserving the right, but I have not murdered my son yet for all the shit that he says and or does. As a matter of fact, he's got a room to his graduation party will be short-lived because he has a room he's got to fucking clean when he's get back. A tornado has hit my son's room. Thy name is Alex. He has destroyed his fucking room. And he didn't do it alone. He's got two titis that came over on two separate days that assisted in the destruction of that room. So he'll be left holding the bag. So maybe that'll teach his ass to let people destroy his shit. So that's going to be a short graduation lull for him because his ass is back to work as soon as he gets back. And speaking of work, I have been putting in tremendous work leading up to this 100th episode. This is episode 95. Ain't but a few left. Hopefully by episode at least 97. So give me like another two weeks. I should have some more shit finalized and definitely more stuff for you guys to hang on to there and promote. And we can get you guys up to date on what the big celebration is going to look like. I have some things sliding down here, trying to fit into place. And hopefully everything works itself out because I want something huge for episode 100. That's that. AJOUM.podbean.com, obviously your main source of Orsini's Uncensored Mind every Wednesday, 9 p.m., which, by the way, that Wednesday is now tentative. Please stay updated because, as of right now, I do believe episode 101 will be on a different day. I think 100 is going to be the last day that we do the Wednesdays because, like I said a few weeks ago, my semester leading up is going to be hectic. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm not going to have time to wipe my ass, let alone do a fucking hour podcast. That's just not going to work. After Wednesday, I'll have much better time. So we haven't decided on a day. It's going to be one of the weekend days. I know that. I just don't know which one just yet. But we will keep you up to date. But it does seem like right now you can go ahead and pencil that in, that episode 100 will be the last episode to air or be released, I should say, Wednesdays at 9. But until then, yeah, Wednesdays at 9. You can catch it at ajoum.podbean.com. There are other ways to listen to it. Any way that you can listen to your podcasts, all you have to do is Google the name, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. You'll get all the options and different ways that you can listen to the show. I am in a bunch of fucking places. That was not by accident. That was very much on purpose. I wanted to be as all over the place as I possibly could, and I'm glad that I totally am. The t-shirt. Guys, ProWrestlingTees.com/AGOUM. A-J-O-U-M, not G. A-J-O-U-M. That's all you need to do. Click that link there and head over to the t-shirt. Support the show. $20 gets you a t-shirt. If you want different colors and different cuts, female cuts, male, you know, whatever the case may be, you want to customize a little bit, go ahead and shoot me the message. We'll talk that over, and I'll get you the information for that. Also, $20. So, not a bad deal to be repping the show. Show some support. Thank you guys for those who have and for those who will eventually support the show there. Much to get to on the pro wrestling side. Man, we got hit with a fucking hurricane of news over the course of the last 48 hours. We're going to get into a bunch of that shit. But I'm going to start this off with something I haven't done in a while. And I need to do this because, God damn it, this is something I need to get off my chest. Okay, so we're going to start this off with a what the fuck. That's what we're going to do. We're going to start this off with a what the fuck and get right into this.
Oh, man, that's deep.
What in the fuck is he doing?
What the fuck is going on in here on this day?
I was asking that same exact question not too long ago. So I would like, normally when I do this segment, it's from an article or some newsworthy thing that's taking place somewhere that usually has me crying, laughing, or got me all kinds of fucked up, and I just feel like sharing. That will not be the case today. Today is a personal story. Something happened to me that was very what the fuck. Very, very, very what the fuck. So here's the scenario. Let me give you the context of what happened. Because immediately when this happened, I was like, I have to share this on the show. Two people told me not to. It might be a little gross. Just to give you a heads up, there is the story involves a penis, a pair of sweaty balls. If you're familiar with the term, you know what it means. Fromunda, okay, a little Fromunda film. We'll get to all this, right? So anyway, that's just the heads up. If you don't want to hear this girl story, skip ahead like 5 or 6 minutes. Anywho, so I'm walking, doing my thing, being O, walking down the street. That sounds like Pretty Woman when you say it in that form, but I'm not a pretty woman. This is just me walking down the street. I'm going to the bodega. Gonna grab myself a sandwich, because that's what I do from time to time. O's trying to cut down on the weight, so he's trying to eat the healthy foods. Okay, the lettuce, tomato, some cold cuts, get myself a nice wheat bread. Okay, trying to trim down on the carbs. I'm doing my thing, and I'm walking to the bodega. What do I see across from me as I'm walking down one direction? A family of three also walking down in my direction. Now, we're a good block length away from each other. I saw them as soon as they came out of my building, but I'm paying them no mind. Okay? It's a family of three kids, one girl, two boys, the mom. Mom's on the phone. They're walking down the street. Asian family, right? Everyone's playing, laughing. Have a good time. I'm looking up, I'm looking down at my phone, I'm looking up. I'm playing this new game, Idle Miner. What is it called? Idle Miner Tycoon. Very addictive. It's consumed a lot of my time recently. It's been a great de-stressor since I haven't had classes this summer. So I'm up, I'm down, I'm looking up, I'm looking down, right? All of a sudden, the two boys are battling back and forth. One slightly taller than the other. He must be the older brother. Okay, so the older brother is messing with the little brother. Little brother ain't no punk-ass bitch. He's fighting back. There's a struggle. It seemed playful at first, but then it starts getting real. We got elbows. We've got noogies. All the classics. And all of a sudden, the older brother balls his mighty fist up and takes a clean shot to little brother's ribs. Bam! Clocks him straight in the ribs. Little brother didn't even fucking see it coming. And you can tell that it was a clean, just perfect fucking shot right to the fucking ribs. Because you could hear, like, the we're walking towards each other, but I'm still a good distance. But you can hear the, you know, that sound when you can literally hear the air leaving a body when it gets hit. You can just hear the, and he, like, drops to a knee. I mean, the rib shot was perfection. It was just very Cassius Clay, just bam. And the older brother was like real G about it, right? So he hits him in the fucking, I'm over here mimicking with my hands here. He fucking, right? So he gets him clean shot, bam, hits him right in the fucking ribs and never breaks his stride. He cracks this kid in the ribs and he just keeps it fucking moving. He's walking. He's not even in a rush, giggling. Ha 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 ha. Little brother ain't feeling that shit. Holding his fucking ribs just down to the one knee, he got buckled. And you can see this red-eyed, just flushed and flummoxed face on this little dude. He had, you know, right before Akuma hits Raging Demon, he hits that fucking pose, that leg out, just fist out, like fucking pose where he just, Okay, now it doesn't help that this was an Asian family, so this sounds like a racist description, but he looked very Akuma-like, right before he hits Raging Demon. He's down on the one knee. He's looking up at his brother, and he could just see in his face that he wishes death upon his older brother. You could just look in his eye, and you can just see that he wants his brother to be punished, and to suffer very much like he has been punished and is suffering as well. And I swear to God this happened. This is a true fucking story. Right before I can pass this family to go to the store, because I'm keeping an eye on this situation, because it looks like little brother's about to do some stupid shit. And sure enough, while he's down on the one knee, he uses his thumbs to give you a description of what's happening here on the sides of his pants and starts to yank him down a little bit. Okay? And he takes his right palm, goes into his drawers, and starts rattling around his beanbag. Okay, he's just shaking his maracas around. Okay, and I know that he's doing it. You want to know how I know he's doing it? Like, he's, because it's not in the pants. He literally has his balls and his dick, his franken beans, okay, his logs and nuggets is right here in his hands outside of his, like, he got so deep. He's in taint territory here. And to get that deep with the arm and all that stuff, his meat and everything is just on full display. A silver platter, if you will, just right here on the fucking sidewall. And he's getting under, I'm talking fingertip to fucking wrist. He's got the whole hand just glazed from all of a day's work on his balls. It is on his hands, okay? He's middle fingertip to wrist, pinky tip to thumb tip, full fucking hand, just from under cheese, just all of a day's activity right here on his tainted balls, right here on his fucking hand, okay? With his left hand, after he fucking glazes and he loads his weapon, okay? He starts to rise again, and with his left hand slips his meat back into his drawers. And he starts speeding up towards his brother. And I can already see what's about to happen. Or at least I thought I knew was going to happen. I thought was going to happen because he was just, his hand is glistening in the sun now. I thought he was going to go over the top. I thought he was going to actually come up over the brother's head and just wipe all that shit on his face. And I thought, man, how gross is this? I can't turn away. It's like a car crash. I got to watch this. I thought he was just going to rub all that ball grease, all that testa juice, all over his fucking face. And I was wrong, my friends. What he ended up doing is he started speeding up towards his brother. His brother never saw this shit coming. He didn't go in front of him. He didn't go over him. This motherfucker took his right hand, cocked it all the way the fuck back, and without breaking a single stride, he swung his fucking hand over to the side of his brother's face from behind so fucking hard. The big brother fucking fell, all he crumbled to the fucking ground grabbing his fucking face. He had this stunned look on his face, like he felt like he got hit with a bat. I've never seen a person that small swing his fucking hand that fucking fast. And he caused so much damage. I mean, the fucking handprint, red face. It caught mom's attention. That's how it made the loudest fucking smack sound I have heard in person since I witnessed Dan Moff chop someone in the corner. It sounded like a fucking gunshot. And I guess because of the momentum and the ball juice. He had a wet, filmy hand. So it's not even like the physical pain alone of just being slapped that fucking hard. Like, it sounded like he cracked a whip. He hit him so fucking hard in the face. It's also now the fact that he's got this juice and all kinds of shit all over his fucking hand. So now it's disrespectful. Now you're in a whole nother category over here. Now you're just fucking with this kid. This was the most disrespectful shit I had ever seen in my life. If I had the balls to mimic it, I think it would be the ultimate comeback from someone putting their hands on you. He didn't just grab. I mean, he rubbed. He went side to side. He got all that shit, all of a day's work right there in his tainted balls all over. There might have been, I don't know, but there should have been little mini hairs on it. Or I don't know if he has. You know, I couldn't tell, really. I know it was his Franken beans. I know that. I couldn't tell if he had much bush. Asians, in general, don't tend to get much bush, you know. But that was the most disrespectful shit I had ever seen in my entire life. I had never seen anything so fucking disrespectful in my life. So I wanted to share that with you guys because that is an amazing what the fuck segment. Anywho, much more to discuss here. We can move on to the next thing. Enough with ball film and juice and whatever and the what's its. I already kind of hinted at something earlier, and I guess we can get more into it now. We have yet another pro wrestler with a leaked video. Unfortunately, it is not a female this time. It changed it up. A little equality on the sex tape. Entertainment world here. You know, we're getting a little diversified, 2019 and all. And we've got a guy. For those of you who didn't hear recently, Ricochet's video hit the nets. Amazingly enough, I know this is going to come as a shock to a lot of people, but I did not look for it. I did not download it. I did not partake in this one. And I think that's what's so, it's kind of why I wanted to mention it. Because I think that was what was so fucking hilarious and yet different about the whole thing. People say sex sells, right? Sex sells. That's what people say. They say, oh, sex sells. Not all sex sells. Because, listen, if it would have been any woman on that roster, and Lord knows that we've had a few, that would have been mainstream news, man. We would have been talking about it. It would have been all over the place, and people would have been made this big ass fucking big deal about the whole deal. It would have been memes and all kinds of stuff. And this particular situation did not go down like that. It was actually pretty. It looked over. It was right. It was like, all right, there's a video. Okay, all right, cool, whatevs. And I think another reason why it was is because it wasn't like he was doing a sex act with another female. What makes it worse is he was kind of doing stuff to himself, from what I understand. Yeah, he was kind of getting in there. I'll give you this. He got in deeper than the kid that slapped his brother did. You know, because the kid who slapped his brother, I mean, he was all in the balls. He was all in the taint. He didn't get anywhere near the anus from what I saw. Ricochet took it all the way, baby. It's 100% commitment. That's where the prostate is. You know, from what I hear, guys get amazing orgasms from back there. I wouldn't know because that is, I don't like sex that much to be putting shit in my ass. And I'm not suggesting he did. I did not see the video. But a finger is enough of an object for me to say no. And I know that's a medical procedure in some places. Pass. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pass on all that. I do not want things in or around my ass. That is a, call it a personal rule. I'm a little old school in that way, where I'm not really that fucking interested in doing that. But to each their own. If he likes getting stuff in his butt, man, go with it, man. He's got that hot little number there, Katie from American Ninja Warrior over in NXT. Or is it Casey? It's Casey. You know, that's what gets them going, man. Fuck it, man. You know, whatever. That's what his own thing. I just wanted to bring it up because of the video situation, how overlooked it was. No one really didn't really stir up that much of a thing, right? It was like a thing for like an hour or two, and people were like, even the chicks were like, not really my thing. Not really my thing. So I was like, all right. No double standard, right? No hypocrisy in this. You know, speaking of equality, speaking of diversity, speaking of being in 2019, a little bit of a hubbub going around right now with Sonya Deville and her little thing with Mandy Rose in the ring. And people are like, oh boy, here we go. A gay relationship angle. Ugh, Vince can't resist. Vince can't resist what? What can't? Doing a relationship angle? Why does it have to, this is my thing. She's a lesbian. She's not in a lesbian relationship. She's in a relationship. Isn't that where we're supposed to be by now? Isn't this supposed to be part of the norm by now? Vince can't resist doing a lesbian angle. What the hell are you talking about? If Sonya has been tagging with Mandy Leon this entire time, and all of a sudden starts getting feelings for someone, how is that any different than when a wrestler or a tag team would have a female valet and all of a sudden one of the guys just starts to fall for her a little bit and they end up in a relationship? What's the difference between that and when it happens in music bands or when it happens in whatever situation? Just because you're gay does not title everything you do as gay. You know, when you're a gay person and you go to the coffee shop, you don't get gay coffee. You're not getting a gay bagel. You're just getting a coffee and bagel. It's not titled to everything. They're gonna start a lesbian relationship angle. No, they're just doing a relationship angle. It's got jack shit to do with her being a lesbian. If it was Randy, that's a bad example. But because God knows. But if it was a guy from the roster, and they were doing, you take that exact same scenario that Sonya and Mandy did in the ring, and you take Sonya out, put a guy in. Are we sitting here going, man, Vince McMahon, he's doing it again. Can't resist doing a straight relationship angle. No, because it's part of the fucking norm, right? And that's what we're talking about here. Can't we just hurry up and get to the part where this shit is just normal already? Can't we just move along to this shit? It's a lesbian angle. No, it's just a relationship angle. She's starting to get feelings for her. This is normal shit. It's shit that you do and you deal with every fucking day. None of this shit is new. I don't understand the controversy of it. And it's not much of a controversy. And believe me, I'm not trying to stir shit up so that it becomes one. I'm just taking into consideration the things that I've seen from people on my timeline and on my feed and the vibe that I get from people that I talk to who watched Raw this past week, who will sit there and will fucking tell me. They're like, oh my God, they're going with it. They're going to start doing this whole mixed feelings thing between Sonya and Mandy and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, oh, so they're doing a relationship? No, they're not doing a relationship. They're doing a lesbian angle. They're not doing a fucking lesbian angle. For the record, Mandy Leon is not, I mean, excuse me, not Mandy Leon. Oof. Mandy Rose is not fucking gay. She's not a lesbian. Last I checked or last I heard. So they're going to go a different, I'm telling you, they're going to tell a story with this. It's not going to be one of those deals where it's going to be two chicks just making out with each other. You're not going to get hot lesbian action anymore. HLA is gone. It's gone. Should have never been here in the first place. But it's definitely gone now. Absolutely. So can we stop, please? Can we just move on? Oh, he can't resist. Yes, he can't resist. That's what he can't do. Jesus fucking Christ. There has been a lot of talk also. We're not doing all WWE, by the way. Because, again, I didn't watch the pay-per-view, Stomping Ground. I did not watch it. I have zero interest in watching it. I don't think I'll be watching it anytime in the future. Ricochet won the WWE United States Championship. He didn't fuck his way out of that, I guess. Or finger fuck his way out of that. He still got rewarded there. That's like the big news coming out. And then, of course, Lacey Evans being the referee. Whatever. They want to put a real-life power couple on TV and whatever. It doesn't really make much of a difference to me. As a matter of fact, the fact that there isn't much of a difference on that, we're going to get to that later on, and a little announcement at the end at next week's episode, already pretty much planned out, and I'm going to go over that stuff with you because it involves this shit. We need to really talk about some real serious shit when it comes to the WWE. But, there was another controversial topic going around with low attendance. From what I understand, not only did I not watch it, but a bunch of you didn't watch it. And what makes matters even worse, a bunch of you didn't even go to the fucking show itself. Which I say to that, congratulations. There it is. That's what I've been saying for forever. I don't give a fuck what you tweet. I don't give a fuck what you think. I don't give a fuck what you say. I give a fuck, and the WWE gives a fuck about what you do. About what you do. Because if you criticize the product, but you still support it, if you tell the whole world that this is the worst wrestling you can possibly see, but you still go, nothing changes. It will never change. I said it 1,000 times on this show. If you continuously keep supporting in spite of your disapproval of how things are, of the status quo, of the product they put out, it will not change. That's why when people get mad when I say the WWE is still the number one company in the world, and we're going to talk more about that later, they will get mad. They're not. Because creatively speaking, and that's where you lose me, because no matter how bad that creative gets, you still go. Well, Stomping Ground proved that you piss off just the right amount of people, and you're going to take a fucking hit. There were people posting up pictures of sections that were sectioned off and all this stuff. People say, well, it's not really fair to say that they didn't really do good on their attendance when a lot of the section of the building were taped off. Why do you think they were taped off? They had the tickets on the market. No one wanted them. So they took them off the market. Section it off. Do something creative with it as opposed to just having it be fucking empty. By the way, people are just now coming around to this idea that, oh, well, I couldn't buy a ticket to that section. So that's why it's like that. No, here's what happens. The tickets that go on sale first, or at least end up becoming the most affordable, are whatever seats are going to be in front of the hard cam. Those are the seats that are the most affordable. Haven't you ever wondered why when you go to Ticketmaster and you start looking around the bowl, that one side of the building is always a little bit more affordable than the other side of the building? That's because the side that's more affordable is going to be where the hard cam is facing, so that at least they know in the back of their minds that if they don't sell the whole building out, at least hard cam will be full. You understand? It's called it starts with a P. The point is that it makes the entire area seem more full than it was. The same trick, only slightly altered, when they used to do tapings over at the Impact Zone. The Impact Zone would always look like this big, fancy venue on one side of the cam. They didn't even have seats on the other side of the fucking cam. It was like the workers had to work 3/4 of the side of the ring. And that's because you want to give the impression of a big-time major league promotion. AEW doesn't have these issues because they're working buildings, and it just so happens that those buildings seem to be full. So they can use boom cams, they can do all these different angles, and everything still looks the way that it's supposed to look. But the WWE is running out of tricks. And that is a good sign for people who want change, because that is where you will start to see change. If you stop buying I can already tell that the merchandise money has slowed down as well. I have never seen this many merch sales by the WWE. Buy one, get one free. 60% off. Father's Day sale. Mother's Day sale. There was a long block of time where I didn't see any of those. There were never any fucking sales. If anything, the prices kept going up. $20, $25, $29.99. $34.99. Then we got hoodies coming out for $59.99 or whatever the fucking case may be. All of a sudden now we've got 2-for-1 sale. 40% off using this code. If you go right now, WrestleMania sale or a Backlash sale or whatever the fuck it is. All of a sudden, there are all these wonderful sales that are out there. The money is coming down. So if you're looking for an opportunity to see some changes, that's where you're going to get it. AEW is not going to force the WWE to change shit. That's not how this is going to work. AEW isn't going to change a fucking thing right away. Okay? Over time, AEW will be the competition the WWE needs. But AEW right now isn't needed to defeat the WWE because the WWE is defeating the WWE. They're doing everything good to themselves and everything bad to themselves. According to them, they don't really have much direct competition. They're in a league all of their own. And yet still, here we are. For everybody who was wondering, because I said this to a few people, and I don't think they really comprehended what I was saying, so I'll explain it further here. When Double or Nothing was over, people looked at the pay-per-view and they said, wow, what a fucking show. So fucking great. I can't wait to see what happens on Raw to see if they respond. And then Raw came on, and they didn't do a fucking thing different. They stayed to the formula, status quo. And people took that as, well, that proves it right there. They can't compete. The WWE can't compete with AEW. AEW is too great. And I respond differently. And I tell people, my response is, the reason why the WWE didn't change anything from their formula based on Double or Nothing is because when WWE officials saw Double or Nothing, they didn't see anything special. They didn't see anything that made them go back and say, we need to change this because that company is doing such great business right now. They're going to blow us out of the fucking water if we don't change something. They didn't do that. I'm sure, I don't think Vince sat there and watched it live, but I'm sure there were enough higher-ups who saw the pay-per-view, looked at that shit and went, huh, not bad, and went back to their fucking status quo. It went right back to what they were doing. It was not at all a concern of theirs. Otherwise, they would have changed the product, but they didn't. They didn't feel the need to. WWE is doing WWE dirty. There's no other way around it. You don't need the AEW to put WWE out of business. WWE, first of all, will never truly ever be out of business, but even they can get hit and take losses and put themselves in bad business positions, and that's what they're doing. Stomping Ground proved that. They have, it's June right now, it's the end of June, they have literally about 2 months to fix this shit before SummerSlam. I don't know what their July plans are, I think it's Extreme Rules. All right, they're panicking. You just saw The Undertaker on Raw. The Undertaker is booked in a random-ass fucking tag match at Extreme Rules. A match no one asked for. A match nobody cares about. A match that will not have any fucking buildup of any fucking worth at all. And yet another situation with Shane McMahon in it. I personally don't have a big deal with Shane McMahon being pushed or being used in a prominent position. I don't. I think he does a good job. He's a hell of a promo, and he has no problem giving up his body to get over another talent. Those are all good qualities to me. I've got no problem with him being a heel. I have no problem with him being a top heel. But I am not the millions. I am not the billions. I am not the people who are spending money time and time again to support the WWE. Even if I am, I could acknowledge I'm in the minority on that. So given that, even though I am in support of using Shane, I would go on record by saying, stop. Because there's more than enough. I am not enough to support the WWE. You need the millions. And the millions have a different feel. They were just chanting no more Shane on Raw. Now, I come on this show all the time and I tell fans, you don't know. I tell fans, you think you're on the inside, but you're not. I take fans to task all the time on this show about trying to be the booker instead of being the fan. Trying to be the entertainer instead of the entertained. There's always this thin line. And it's not even much of a thin line. We always use the line reference as the guardrail. You know, you're on the other side of the guardrail. Stop trying to cook the meal. Just enjoy what we give you. But it comes to a point where a blind fucking Ray Charles can see something is wrong. Okay? And I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that whatever the hardcore fans love means that the casuals will love too. Because that may not be the case. But what I can tell you is what you're giving the casuals, in spite of the hardcores, isn't working. Because while the casuals may support you on, let's say, on social media, you might get a lot of YouTube hits, you might get a lot of shares on Facebook, you might get some retweets, you can get some hashtags that get your eyes, your product eyes on in different areas. If they don't come to the building, you look bad on TV. You look bad on TV, you don't have a fucking company. You could lose TV. You could be fined by TV. They just had a Fox deal that could fall through. Well, if they breathe wrong, they lose the Fox deal. Fox made a perfect deal for themselves. They have an out on a lot of this shit. They're going to be having hands-on. They're going to be a part of the process. This is all going to be a working conglomerate. And the one ingredient that is necessary is followership. People need to be in the fucking building. People, you need attendance to give the impression of a big-time major league promotion. And the WWE is that. But at this point, it feels like they're that based on reputation, not based on what they're doing now. They have great athletes right now. Some of the most talented and gifted performers in the world. And some of the most gifted and athletic performers of all time in the WWE. And yet, the numbers are falling. And the reason for that, as anyone can tell you, I'm not breaking any ground by saying what I am about to say. The reason it's going down isn't because of the athleticism. It isn't because of booking. Okay? Because you can go back and forth on booking. All right? There's a lot of people out there who would say this person needs to be booked, and I can find an equally sized group that will tell you, no, fuck that guy. Don't book that guy. Book this guy. That's all over the place. Okay? Booking is how you do it. What you don't have, what the WWE does not have, is a why. They haven't had why in a long time. Why is Taker here? Why is Taker fighting Shane and McIntyre? Why is Taker teaming with Roman Reigns? Seth Rollins is walking around with a steel chair beating up people. Why? And you're probably hearing that going, well, he has it because, you know, he's defending himself against Lesnar. Why? Why does he need a steel chair to beat up Brock Lesnar? Is that the only way that your top guy, he's your best, he's your very best, and the only way that he can beat Brock Lesnar is with a steel chair? That's what you're telling me. That means, as a whole, there's your roster and then Lesnar all by himself. And the only way to beat him is with a fucking weapon. There's no one here who could out-wrestle him. There's no one here tougher than him. There's no one here who's a bigger badass than him. There's no one here who could take it to him physically. You need a steel fucking chair to beat this fucking guy. It's the only way you could do it. And then a casual fan is supposed to see this roster when Lesnar's not around and take them seriously. Your athletic matches are fine. You're not coming up with any creative reason as to why. That's the one thing AEW so far is trying to do. Why? Why is Jon Moxley fighting Joey Janela at Fyte Fest? Why is the Young Bucks going against, or the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega taking on this three-man team? They're trying to give you whys. They're trying to give you reasons as to why these things are happening. They're trying. A lot of companies these days, MLW, Ring of Honor, New Japan, they're all trying to tell you why. Which is why these other companies are going up. And the WWE is either plateauing or going down. Which leads me to the next and final piece. I had other things that I wanted to get to, but I feel, based on that rant that I just gave you and the one that I'm about to give you, I may run out of time. But yes, we're going to talk Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay. I brought it up on my page. I'm going to pull it up right now just to get the official number here, because what I did is I didn't talk much about it on social media. I wanted the poll to speak for itself. I placed the poll on Orsini's Uncensored Mind official Facebook page, which you can like and subscribe to right now. But I went on there and I posted a very simple poll. Overall, who's better? Skip all the bullshit. Who's better? Seth Rollins, Will Ospreay. And I'm going to get into specifics in a second, but that was the basic run-of-the-mill setup that I did for that. It's still loading. Give me 1 second here. Okay, because here we go. Posts. It was a very simple poll. And when last I checked, Rollins was ahead by a lot, and then it was closing down. It was closing in, I should say. Will Ospreay started to get more and more support. Look, okay, I said I'm curious on how you really feel. Be honest. And I wrote who's the better performer? And as it stands right now, as I'm doing this, which is around noon, actually it's going to be 1 o'clock. 55% Seth Rollins, 45% Will Ospreay out of 154 votes, which is a lot for me, so thank you guys. Seth Rollins or Will Ospreay. Now here's the deal. I know the answer to this question, or at least I have an understanding as to where I lean. To be fair, and we're going to say this off the bat, the answer to this question does not have a right or wrong answer. Okay, I know what I just said. I misspoke. Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. Doesn't really have a right or wrong answer. You can love Seth Rollins. You can love Will Ospreay. To be honest with you, you can love both. That's not what this question is about. This question is, be honest, who's the better performer? And the obvious answer, to me anyway, is Seth Rollins. And that's not to take away from Will Ospreay. I have to say this up front because people think that if you pick one out of the two that you automatically just assume that the other one is garbage. That's not the case. Will Ospreay is a once-in-a-lifetime, and I have said this a few times, once-in-a-lifetime type of athlete. He's not the biggest guy, but his technique, his ability to perform the maneuvers is out of this world. It's freakish. It's ridiculous how good he really is. He's once in a lifetime. But he is not a great all-around performer. He just isn't. Not in comparison to Seth Rollins. And I know people can say, well, then you haven't seen his work over the last year. I've seen it all. I've seen all of it. If I had a promotion right now, I would be creaming over myself to get both of these guys. I want both. And together, I think they'd have one fucking hell of a match, to be honest with you. But if you're asking me, gun to my head, not even gun to your head, you're a promoter. You get a draft. All right, these are the two obvious picks. You can only pick one, and the other one's going to the other guy. Who are you picking? I'm picking Seth Rollins, which I guess would send Will Ospreay to the competition, which I'm fine with because I've got Seth Rollins. This is an easy one, I think, to me anyway. I used the term, full? Is that what that one I said? Full package, he's a full package player, I believe is what I said. I believe that. Talk, work, his ability to sell, his ability to work in matches with small guys, big guys, to work a high fly match, to work a power game match, to work a ground game match. This guy is 100%. Now the Ospreay thing, the comparisons and the discussion, everything took place based off of one original tweet, or I was actually a retweet from Seth Rollins, who was retweeting some promotional material from the WWE, basically saying, best wrestling in the world, period. That drew some ire from fans. It drew ire from all walks of life, different performers, past and present, just everyone taking their shots. And to be honest with you, people taking their shots at Seth Rollins for saying that is exactly his whole point in all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are supposedly, and I say supposedly because, again, a lot of this shit is subjective. But if you're going to call yourself Monday Night Rollins, if you're going to consider yourself the man. All right, Seth Rollins considers himself the top guy in the WWE. I mean, he considers himself the John Cena, the Hulk Hogan, the Bret Hart, the Bruno Sammartino of the WWE. All of those names that I just mentioned all waved that WWE flag as hard as everyone and anyone, saying that this is the best show on the planet, saying that they have the best talent in the world, saying that he's the best wrestler on the planet, no one can touch him. These are all things, folks, he is supposed to be saying. These are all things that he should be saying louder than everyone else. He is putting it on his shoulders to defend his company. I don't know why that's such a hard thing to understand. People are like, oh, he's such a suck-up. Suck-up? He's such a kiss-ass. Kiss-ass. You know who says things like suck-up and kiss-ass and all that stuff? You know the kind of people that say that? The people who aren't successful and the people who aren't talented enough on their own to be successful. That is the kind of people. Don't be those kind of people. Okay, there's nothing suck-up. There's nothing kiss-ass about any of it. They pay him millions of dollars a year. He is taken care of financially. He is taken care of through his health. He is taken care of exponentially by this company. And every single day, every minute of the day, the company that does this for him gets battered and bruised and abused and run through the mud. And it's about time, actually, that he actually stood up and said something. It's been a long time coming. Because God knows somebody should. For some reason, the best tact that has been taken by some of the recent current superstars when it comes to attacking back at criticisms or going back and forth with people has been to take it down a notch, has been to be the better person. You know, don't lower yourself to them. You know you're a superstar. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Be above. You know what? Sometimes you don't want to be above. Sometimes you want to put people in their fucking place. And that's something that Seth Rollins has been doing all week. All week. Okay? He's got all the resume in the world. This is why this is the one guy who should be doing it. And even though, yes, there are people on the same roster as him who may even differ in opinion. Guys like EC3, for instance, who goes on social media and basically voices his displeasure. Or The Revival. Or people who say that Shinsuke should go back home and all these different all these situations. Luke Harper asking for his release and Sasha Banks staying at home. All of these things, okay, all indicate that perhaps Seth Rollins may not be completely honest with himself. But the fact that he believes it is the point. If you're running the ship here, you have to have all the confidence in the world that what you're doing is right and who you're doing it for is for the right people. You have to have that kind of confidence. You can't just sit here and just let people talk shit about, like in his words, a place that I've dedicated my whole life to. You're not just supposed to just sit back and just let that shit happen. He has done it. Because a lot of people's like, well, he really needs to stop talking. He's just getting himself in trouble. Trouble with whom? Trouble with whom? You? He's getting in trouble with you? Is that what you're trying to say? Did you just too much of a pussy to come out and say it? I will be angry if he continues to say these things. I hope he continues. I hope this is the norm. I hope he says these things from now on. And every angle that he's been attacked at this last week is all refutable garbage. And that's why I'm sure he's probably just kicking back and laughing at some of the responses. And he's going at it with people that are, I mean, we're talking about Chris Jericho. He's going at it with Chris Jericho. He's going at it with Will Ospreay. He's going at it with fans. He's going at it with the janitor at the local Y. Anybody who's got 2 cents to say about shit, he's got change for you, baby. He's got it coming for you. He's not sitting around letting this shit happen anymore. And you know what? Good for him. Good for him. Because that's the one part of this whole thing that always makes me laugh. The internet, right? The internet as a whole. They're the judge, jury, and executioner. As soon as someone comes back at him, they don't like it. Oh, he needs to stop talking. Why? It's not stopping you from talking. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but you're talking about it anyway, right? Yes, his statement is subjective. Best wrestling in the world. You can make a discussion right now that they're probably not even top 5. wrestling companies in the world as far as the actual performance is based. But he can't come out and say that. He has to have the pom-poms out. He has to have the flag. Him of all people. Everybody else not in his spot, I'm sure, will feel differently. But he's in the spot. It's not Roman Reigns. It's not Cesaro. It's not anybody you can think of right now, even Kofi Kingston. Okay? Kofi Kingston is the WWE champion, and of the two, that's the more prestigious belt. But let's be honest with ourselves. Kofi is still getting his feet wet as champion. He's had a hell of a run so far. He's done okay. But Seth Rollins is the man in this company. He's been positioned as the man for the last 4 years. But he is just now acting and defending the company and behaving like the man. Okay, for those of you who keep coming back, well, Cena didn't have to do this. Cena did do it. There were many times when he fired back. Not as many times as I'm sure he would have liked, but there were times that he did. There were times when Stone Cold fought back. There were times when Hulk Hogan fought back. There were times when Bret Hart fought back. There were times when Bruno Sammartino fought back. It's about time he has, and he has, and people don't like it. They're in their own feelings. Good. Good. It's good someone threw it back at you. That's one of the reasons I think they love Rollins so much, because they're able to give him shit. And he was always above it, and he never really, you know, but that's the type of person that people like. The person that fans like, the kind of performer that they can shit on, and they know that they won't ever shit back on him because they're either too high a station or they just don't find the need to fire back at every piece of criticism that they get. So fans love it. They don't like it when you come back at them. They don't like that, especially with a winning argument. Like, you know, who are you? That's a strong argument in the internet community. When we can sit here and say, well, who are you to even say any of this? I'm the paying customer. And there's millions around the world. A million of something does not make it unique or special. You are not unique because you bought a pro wrestling ticket. That's not how this works. You're not unique for anybody who does these things. You're doing it for entertainment. You're doing it because you love it. Then enjoy it. And this whole thing between Ospreay and Rollins going back and forth. Ospreay, listen, Ospreay, I said it at the beginning of this, once in a lifetime talent. This fucking guy is amazing to watch. Okay, but he's not the full package. So for anybody who's sitting here saying, well, I would take Ospreay over Rollins, great. I'm glad you would do that. But what you just did was prove that you don't know anything about the business. You're picking the guy that you like. You're not picking the guy who would be better for your business. I will lay a scenario down for you. Be honest with yourself when I give you this scenario. No names, no figures, no nothing. We have person A and person B. Both people are supremely talented. Okay? Both people are supremely talented. And this goes actually, not before I even say this, this goes to that argument when Seth Rollins had made mention about, well, let's compare bank accounts, right? And people were like, oh, now he wants to compare money. He wants to compare money now. You know he lost. You know he has no argument because he's bringing up money. Money is the indicator, my friend. The only people that don't believe that bank accounts matter are the people with no fucking bank accounts. Because to people who are successful, to people who make money, to people who are top tier one percenters, you know what they care about? Bank account. You know why bank account? Because bank account keeps score. Ask any sports athlete in the world. Doesn't matter the sport. You ask them, how do you guys keep score? It's the fucking bank account. That's why when you hear people debate rap albums, well, this person had a nice album, but this other person sold like 2 million more copies. Well, that doesn't mean he's a better rapper. No, it doesn't mean he's a better rapper, but it does mean he's a better performer. It does mean he's a much more successful performer. That's how success is measured. Success. So let's go back to our little scenario here and be completely honest with yourself. Person A, person B, the two people are very talented. Person A's talented, person B's talented. They are both great. Person A has utilized their talents to earn their employer $500,000 for the year. It's good money. Option B, his talents have generated $1 million for his employer. Both performers are talented. Both performers are fun to watch. Both performers are people will pay to watch. Both performers are good guys behind the scenes. Both performers are willing to help out others and make the brand better. All of them have great qualities as human beings and performers. One has made $1 million for their employer. The other one has made $500,000 for their employer. Who do you pick? If you picked the $500,000 one, congratulations. You just admitted to yourself you're a shitty businessman. That's not how this works. That's literally not how any of this works. Bank accounts matter. They factor in. Should they be the end-all be-all? No, of course not. There's a lot of dumb motherfuckers walking around here with million-dollar fucking deals. But we're talking about two individuals that are supremely talented, very close, considering Seth's size and Will's lack of size. They're actually still very close talent-wise. The only difference is one is time-tested, one is a veteran, and one has generated the funds to be in the top spot. And the other one is younger and still has some time to go. Could very well achieve the same things that Seth has achieved over time if given that opportunity. But up until this point, has not displayed even an equal amount of success in any category, to be honest with you. Will's done great for himself in New Japan. He's wrestled all over the world here in the States. He's wrestled over, obviously, in the UK and in England, and he's been all over the world. He's a world-class athlete. No one can take that away from Will. He's one of the best. He ain't Seth Rollins. He's just not. And I'm not even going to get into the shit that Seth said about Dean Ambrose, because that's just going to take us down a whole other path of shit. He wasn't wrong about that either. But that's another conversation for another day. I wanted to talk about the Will Ospreay-Seth Rollins comparison because I just think, I'm not going to say laughable, but it's an easy one to make. You look at Seth Rollins, what he can physically do, who he can physically do it with, and it's not even fucking close. I was arguing with somebody online. They were like, Will Ospreay has great matches with every single person he's ever been in touch with. Like, Seth Rollins has not, right? But they always go to the old, well, he's handcuffed, right? Seth Rollins can't have the match that Will has. We know he's a great athlete, but based on what I can see, the eye test tells me Will Ospreay is a better in-ring performer than Seth Rollins. So I said, okay, let's talk about the handcuffs for a second. I'm about to wrap this up, but let's talk about the handcuffs for a second. The handcuffs matter. You know why the handcuffs matter? We have visual evidence of what Seth can do when the handcuffs are off. You let Seth Rollins dribble a little bit into the Tyler Black area, and you're going to see an awful lot of similar shit that Will Ospreay does. Now you put the handcuffs on Seth, still cranks out good matches. Maybe not with everybody. The Baron Corbins of the world, the Sheamuses of the world, whatever. Right opponent, right situation, he can give you a better match handcuffed than he can with the cuffs off. Again, time tested, we've seen both. Will Ospreay, we've seen him with the cuffs off. And when the cuffs are off, he's one of the best athletes in the world. He could put on a barn burner for you. 5 stars, doesn't matter the building, doesn't matter the opponent. Put the cuffs on, we don't know. We know New Japan lets him go. We know the companies over in the UK let him go. We know PWG lets him go. We've never really seen him in a situation where he has to pull back and tell a story with his words and entertain the crowd and draw. We've never seen it. So could I be wrong? And can Will Ospreay come out and show us some shit? Yeah. I'm sure it's possible. But we don't. So until we do, my money's on Seth Rollins. Time-tested workhorse. Can go against anybody. Anyway, that's just my 2 cents on the whole situation, and that was some of the stuff that I was talking about over here on the social media stuff and moving forward with that. So, been a hell of a show here. Had a lot of fun. Again, I'm going to give you guys some information on the 100th episode coming up. which is not too long from now. Next week, episode... Oh, I was going to tease a little bit about next week. So next week is episode 96. And episode 96 is pretty much already all written out. I got a few things going on over here and over there and over there. I'm going to put all the fuckers together in one nice, neat little package for you guys in episode 96. We're going to wrap it very heavily. It may not be only that. I may leave some room open for some other things, but the predominant conversation for episode 96 is going to be the possibility and the opportunity of a WWE offseason. For all we've heard, all the different people say, it's impossible, it can't be done. I have a few ideas, and as a matter of fact, I will go on record now and saying I think it very much well can be done, and I am going to have the exact way that you can do it right here next week. I've got a whole bunch of notes. I've read these notes by a lot of people in the business and all the different ideas. I've conglomerated all these different things together, and I will be sharing all that with you next week, Wednesday, 9 p.m., ajoum.podbean.com. We're going to get down to it. We're going to solve this mystery and this riddle, and I'll have a way to do this so that everybody makes money and everybody's happy. All right? Because I very much will think it can happen, and I will break down for you next week exactly how that can happen. I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys are looking forward to it. Check me out next week, next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying. We will see you next week. Graduation time.
Welcome to our daddy show. This is Ocean Senses Mine. If you listen to my daddy show, he should buy me toys. He's a good daddy.